He speaks to us from his words, Luke chapter 8 is where we've got to in our journey through Luke. So please do turn to it in the Bibles, page 1036, 1036. Really important Bible passage this, because Jesus is telling us what a right response to him looks like. What is a right response to Jesus? What is a right response to his salvation? What does it look like? It's a matter of eternal life or death. Luke 8 verses 1 to 3, first of all. Words are on the screen as well. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Just pause there. Let's think about it. Jesus is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. That's the good news about him. He's the king. He's come. He's come to bring his salvation. 12. That's the disciples. 12 disciples. They're with him. And then there are some women. Women that Jesus had saved from evil spirits and cured of diseases. And Luke names them, gives them their names. Don't worry, we're not going to have a quiz. I'm not going to ask you to close the Bible and see if you can remember them. But I want you to remember them, these women. Don't forget these women, their importance. Notice that these women are so thankful to Jesus for saving them that they gladly serve him. And they provide material needs that Jesus and the disciples need when they're traveling around. So actually, their support means that Jesus can travel to lots of different places and he can preach the word of God to lots of different people. And these women are supporting them and helping them to do that. What a brilliant thing to use your money for, to help other people hear the good news of Jesus, isn't it? And that's what these women are doing. Don't forget the women. Right, you ready for the story? Remember, listen. Remember, really important. You get your ears ready, okay? Get your eyes on your ears. Let's listen to what Jesus is saying. Some pictures will come up as we hear Jesus' story. So, verse 4, when a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. Can we just see Jesus in the boat? There we are. So Luke doesn't tell us that Jesus is teaching from a boat, but when he tells this parable in Matthew and Mark, the crowds are so big that he has to get in a boat and push it just out of shore, just a little bit, so that he's not crowded out and people can hear him. And it's on this occasion, on the Sea of Galilee, when he teaches this crowd this story. And it's the story of a farmer. Here we go, this parable. Verse 5, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. There's the birds, gobbling the seed up, snatching it away. Lands on the path, and then it's gone, in the bird's tummy. Verse 6, some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. There is the sun, scorched the plant, killing the plant. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with the seed and choked the plants. Strangled plants. They come up, but they don't last. Killed off by the weeds. Unhappy farmer? No, it's not the end of the story. Verse 8, still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, Jesus called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. Okay, let's stop there. Jesus tells this story. Jesus told lots of stories, didn't he? And people love Jesus' stories. And this is one of his most famous ones. Who's heard this story before? Often called Parable of the Sower or Parable of the Soils. Well, lots of people have heard it. It's very, very famous. Jesus told stories, and his stories are called parables. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Have you ever thought of this? Why did he speak in parables? Here's the common view. This is what I was taught at Sunday school and in RE at school, because we did the parables at RE. And this is what we're taught, that Jesus taught in parables to make it easy for people to understand the truth about God. So he tells very simple stories that people can relate to, and so it's easy to get the point. And that's why he spoke in parables. Right? Wrong. Wrong. If you think this parable is clear, if you think verses 4 to 8 is clear, that's because you've heard it before, and you've heard the explanation. You've cheated, and you've moved on to verses 11 to 15 and Jesus' explanation. But I just want you to forget that for a moment. We're going to come to that. But what do you make of verses 4 to 8 by themselves? Just imagine you're there in that crowd, you're listening to Jesus, and he tells the story, and then he stops at verse 8, and that's it. What's the point of the story? What's the point? What would this tell you about God if this is the only bit of Jesus' teaching you had? What would it tell you about God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's not clear. It's not obvious. What does he mean? What's he talking about? What's the seed? Who's the farmer? What's the different ground all about? And the disciples don't know. So they ask Jesus to tell them what it means. And the answer that Jesus gives is a surprising one. Were you surprised at Jesus' answer? So this is what he says. He says, the answer is Isaiah 6, verse 9. So he quotes from the Old Testament, from the Old Testament scriptures, Isaiah 6, verse 9. And he's saying that he uses parables to stop people seeing and to stop people understanding. Surprise, huh? He tells parables to hide the word of God from some people. Right, really? Yeah, that's what he says, isn't it? So he's like Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet who lived 700 years before Jesus. God had been continuously speaking to his people Israel through his word, through the scriptures, through the law, and through his prophets. He sent prophet after prophet to speak to Israel. And do you know what Israel did? Again and again and again. Don't want to listen. Don't want to listen to that. La 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 la. Just refused to listen to God's word. And they didn't just refuse to listen to God's word. They also rejected it and twisted it so that it meant something else. So they were, if you read Isaiah verses chapters 1 to 6, you've got this people who are listening to God's word, and then they're rejecting it, and they're also changing it, and they're calling evil good and good evil. That's wicked. And they're keeping doing that. And so God says, Isaiah, I've got a job for you. I want you to go to this people and speak my word, only you're not going to be very successful, but don't worry about that, because it's my judgment on them. They're going to hear that word that you speak, and it's going to have a deadening, deafening effect on them. You speak the word so that they don't get it. And that's my judgment on them, because they have refused time and time again to listen to me, even though I've been speaking to them. I've been so patient with them. I'm finally coming in judgment. And Jesus is saying that there is an Isaiah-like situation in Israel at this time when he's there. God hasn't just sent a prophet. God himself has come in the flesh, and he's speaking to them, and they're not listening. And they also, like the people in Isaiah's day, they call good evil. Do you remember what they were saying about John the Baptist and Jesus in Luke 7? We saw this a couple of weeks ago. John the Baptist comes, speaks God's word, and what do the people say? He's got a demon. We're not listening to him. They call good evil. And Jesus comes, and he speaks God's word to them, and they say, we're not listening, because he's a glutton and a drunkard. They call good evil, just like the people in Isaiah's day. And Jesus says, that's why I'm teaching in parables. To this unbelieving generation, I'm speaking in parables so that they don't get it. I'm speaking in parables to hide the word of God from these people who don't want it and who don't want me. And the word of God has that effect when it's persistently and continuously rejected. And that's serious. And that is why the way that we hear God's word is so, so important. Let's pray that we will be careful how we hear as we come to the meaning of the parable in a few moments. We're going to pause now. We're going to pray, Lord, please help me listen well. And we're going to do that in the words of a song. Okay, what does it mean? That's what we want to know. And Jesus wants his disciples to know what the parable means. He wants us to know what it means. So he's caused it to be recorded for us here. Are we listening? Here's the question. Are we listening? Verse 11. It's up on the screen as well. If you've got it in front of you, great. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Word of God. That's what the seed is. The word of Jesus. The word that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. The word that he's been speaking to the crowd. The word that's recorded for us in the Bible, in the whole Bible, God's word. The word that he's speaking to us now. The seed is going out right now as we sit here. The seed is the word of God. Verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Ah, so we see here, don't we? We see that the different types of soil, the different types of ground, stand for people. People who hear God's words. And some people have hearts that are like hard ground, this hard path. Jesus' teaching, Jesus' word, just never gets inside, gets snatched away. Have you ever seen a sign like this? Ever seen one? A sign like this? Coming up? Ever seen a sign like that? I think it'd be a good idea if we had signs like that plastered all around this building. Maybe on the front cover of our Bibles as well. Thieves operate in this area. There's a thief operates in this area. You see who the thief is, Jesus says, is the devil. And he, whenever God's word is going out, he's wanting to snatch that word away from people so that they don't hear it and they don't take it to heart and so that they don't believe in Jesus and so they're not saved. The devil does not want you to believe and be saved. And he's wanting to snatch that word away. Thief. Be warned, beware. Be careful of the thief whenever God's word goes out. Got a picture. I was very, some people knew who this morning. I don't know if you know who that is. Anyone have any idea who that might be? It's an American person. Yeah, Ian? Benjamin Franklin. Yeah, well done. Yeah. Benjamin Franklin. It's Benjamin Franklin. Let me tell you about Benjamin Franklin. He was one of the founding fathers of the USA. He was one of the people who drafted the Declaration of Independence. Really famous in America in his day. Still very famous now. A long time ago. But he was a friend, a really good friend of George Whitefield. Have you heard of George Whitefield? George Whitefield was a great preacher, a great evangelist in the 18th century. He spent quite a lot of time in America. And Benjamin Franklin was a good mate. And he went to hear George Whitefield lots. And he loved to hear George Whitefield preach. He went so many times. But he was fascinated by what Whitefield was saying. Loved to see Whitefield's passion. And just to be part of the crowds. Thousands and thousands of people went to hear him. George Whitefield shared Jesus with him when they were on their own together as well and urged him to become a Christian. But he never did. Never did. This is what he said after Whitefield's death. Let's just listen to these words. This is what Franklin says. He says, Mr. Whitefield used to pray for my conversion, but he never had the satisfaction of believing that his prayers were heard. Never had the satisfaction of believing his prayers were heard. So in other words, I've heard lots, kept hearing, but I don't want to know. Don't want to know. Snatched away. Heard the word. But the word is snatched away. That man is a footpath hearer. Don't be a footpath hearer. Next lot, verse 13. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy. And when they hear it. So receive it with joy. But then they have no root. They believe for a while. But in time of testing they fall away. Some people are like that. Some people have rocky ground hearts. They're like soil with a layer of thick rock underneath it. And that means that Jesus' teaching doesn't get very far. doesn't penetrate. So people can receive the word, can receive the good news of Jesus with joy. They can even be enthusiastic witnesses for Jesus for a while. But they fall away. They don't have saving faith. They don't believe to the end. When the persecution comes, as it does, they decide that they would rather not follow Jesus after all. 1984, something exciting happened in 1984. Who was alive in 1984? I was alive in 1984. I was 14, and something amazing happened. Billy Graham, the great American evangelist, came to England, and there was this thing called Mission England, and he kind of filled out football stadiums all around the country, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And he came to Barrow via Live Link from Sheffield. So he came to Barrow. We can go to the Bat Cinema in Barrow and we can hear Billy Graham. So the message went out to churches, invite your non-Christian friends to come and hear about Jesus from Billy Graham. So I said, right. And I said to my mates, come on, come and hear Billy Graham. Come and hear the good news of Jesus. And two of them said yes, Dickie and Deanie. Said, right, we're coming with you, Becky. That's me, Becky. They said, we're coming with you. Fantastic, they're coming with me. And they came. They came to the cinema at Barrow. And they heard the gospel. They heard the message. And they responded to the message. When the appeal went forward to come down and receive Jesus, I had my head down, I was praying. But you know, I heard the seat flap back up, you know, the cinema seats next to me. One seat went up. And then the other seat went up. I looked up. They're both clambering down to get to the front. It's almost as if they couldn't get to the front quick enough. And they got to the front. They pray the prayer. They receive Christ. And they go home. At school, on a Monday, they say to people, we've become Christians. We're following Jesus now. And they're on fire for a while. It was when the scoffing, the mocking started that they decided, we're not sure about this. People start saying, hey, look at that. Dickie and Deanie, they've joined the God squad. They're like Becky, they've joined the God squad. What a bunch of losers. And they couldn't take that. And it wasn't long before they fell away. On fire, witnessing for Jesus. And then, all of a sudden, we don't want anything to do with it anymore. That's heartbreaking. And that's rocky ground hearers. Don't be rocky ground hearer. Verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So some people have thorny ground hearts. The word of Jesus doesn't last. It gets choked out by worries, health worries, money worries, children worries, exam worries, you name the worry, it gets choked out by worries. Or it gets choked out by riches. The desire for wealth, the desire for more stuff, the desire for a bigger house, for career advancements, gets choked out by all that kind of stuff. Or it gets choked out by life's pleasures, the distractions of entertainment, Netflix binge watching, gaming, traveling, gardening, sport watching, playing, endless holidays in retirement, you name it. It's all these things, good things in their own right, but you can get too much of them and they can choke the word out. And the frightening word there, I don't know if you see it, as they go on their way. Do you see that? As they go on their way. This choking doesn't happen all of a sudden. It's gradual. Just these things just creep in. Gradual danger is very hard to spot, isn't it? Really hard. And that's what's happening here. It's just a gradual danger. Just these things creeping in. And they choke God's word. No room anymore for God's word. No desire for God's word. Life is just too full, too busy. Full of other stuff. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Be careful. Be warned. And then verse 15. Disappointed farmer? No, not disappointed. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Good soil hearts. People who hold on to Jesus' words when they hear it. They believe it. They persevere. They keep listening to it. They stick with Jesus. They give God's word their ongoing active attention and therefore produce fruit. Do you know what? What does good soil look like? We've met them. Don't forget the women. Don't forget the women. They're good soil. Verses 2 and 3. They're verse 15 people. How do we know? Because they're producing fruit, aren't they? What are they doing? They're using their money to serve Jesus and Jesus' ministry. Helping Jesus preach the gospel. But not just that. Luke doesn't want us to forget these women. He is very particular to mention them again at the end of the account. In Luke 23 and Luke 24. These same women, at the end, they are still serving Jesus. They're serving him with their presence at the cross. Remember, everyone else has run away. They haven't run away. They're still there. They're there at the cross, serving Jesus. And they're still there at his burial with the spices. They're the ones, these women, these same women. They take the spices to anoint Jesus' dead body. Spice Girls, the original Spice Girls. Remember the Spice Girls. They're producing fruit. And also they're still serving Jesus with their witness at the empty tomb when all the others are in hiding. All the others are in hiding. They're there at the empty tomb and they hear the words through the angel. He's alive, just as he told you, remember. And go and tell everyone about it. They do it, don't they? They do it. They're the first preachers of the resurrection. They hear the word, they hold it, and they do it. Good soil. Listen to Jesus' word. They kept listening. They didn't forget it. They persevered. They stick with Jesus. They're even sticking with Jesus in his darkest moments, the most difficult moment. They're still there, producing fruit. Good soil. You see that? Good soil. Important for us. Jesus' parable isn't about some people who hear the word and others who don't hear the word, is it? It's a story about all these people hearing the word. They all hear the word. Everyone hears the word. But only one group of people really, 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 really hears the word. So, please, do we get the message this morning? This is it. It's not enough to hear. It's not enough. Being in a place where God's word is taught is a good thing. But it's not enough. Being amongst people who believe in God's word is a good thing, but it's not enough. These things are not enough to get you into the kingdom. Listening only counts if you keep listening and you take to heart what you hear and live it out. That's what we're being told. So the question is, what kind of ground are we? What kind of ground do we want to be? Now, the answer to that question should be, I want to be good soil, isn't it? Because good soil people are saved people. They're the only people who are saved, is the good soil people. None of those other groups were saved. Just the good soil. I want to be good soil. And I'm sure you do too. And we want to finish with two incentives to be good soil. And that's where verses 16 through to 21 come in. Let's just finish with this quickly. Jesus has another story to tell, verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in and can see the light. Of course, that's what people do with lamps, isn't it? Lamps are meant to shine so people can see. If there's a power cut, you don't find your torch and then, you know, switch it on so you've got the light and then I won't shine it in your eyes. You know, you switch it on and you can see, and then all of a sudden you decide to put it under a bucket so you can't see. You don't do that. That's stupid. No one does that. The whole point of light is to shine out. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Verse 17, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. There's nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. What is he saying? He's saying the word, his word, is meant to bring light. The parables aren't designed to keep people in the dark permanently. Jesus' plan is that the light of understanding will shine into the hearts of those who listen, who really listen. He wants us to understand. He wants to give understanding to us. But do you notice who he gives it to? I was going to call this sermon Be Like the Spice Girls. Decided against it. I was going to call it Jesus Isn't Like Robin Hood. And that's for this point here. Jesus isn't like Robin Hood. You see? What does Robin Hood do? Anyone know? Takes from the rich and gives to the poor. Jesus isn't like Robin Hood here. In this instance, Jesus gives to the rich, takes from the poor. Do you see that? Jesus gives to the haves and he takes from the have-nots. Those who receive Jesus' words and welcome it, who really listen, who love it, they will find that he will give them more. More understanding, more insight, more revelation, so that they get to know him more and become like him. Nothing better than that. More will be given to people who really, really listen. But to those who refuse to listen, to those who don't want to do anything about the word that they hear, well, Jesus will take away even what they think they have. If we have no real care for God's word, if we have no use for it, if we have no hunger for it, it will be taken from us. We have been warned. And that's a great incentive, isn't it? It's a great motivation just to keep coming to church, to hear the word, to keep making time at home, to open up the Bible, to read our Bibles. And if we're not good readers, and some of us aren't, just to have someone else listen. Teaches it, you know, read it. It's great online facilities, isn't it, these days, to have people read to us. David Suchet, for instance, that whole Bible read by David Suchet, it's a brilliant tool. But to want to make time for God's word, don't you be squeezed out or snatched away? It's more than that, though, isn't it? It's more than hearing. It's taking time to think carefully about what we're being told by God here. And then, importantly, to live it out, to put it into practice. Which brings us to the last thing that Luke wants to tell us. Luke finishes with this section with another incentive to really, really, really listen to Jesus' word. Verse 19. Here we meet Jesus' real family. Who are his real family? Well, let's have a look. Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Whoa. You see, those who rightly hear God's word won't just be blessed with more revelation and more understanding. They're going to be blessed with something else as well. They're going to be blessed with the closest relationship imaginable with Jesus. You see that? Jesus' family. That's amazing, isn't it? What a gift. What a privilege to be one of Jesus' family. Those who hear God's word and do it aren't just Jesus' friends. We sing that lovely song, don't we? He calls me friend. What a brilliant thing that is. But it's more than that. He calls us family. If we hear his word and do it. And because he's the king, that means if we're in his family, we're the royal family. If you're a Christian, you're in the royal family. Jesus' family. What could be better than that? And if that doesn't make us want to hear rightly, listen well, nothing will. Nothing will. So, as Jesus says today, he says, whoever has ears, let them hear. He says, be careful then how you listen. Because whoever has will be given more. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Be careful how you listen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this teaching of Jesus. Thank you that he tells us what this story means. He wants us to know what it means. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you sow your word like seed on the ground. And we ask, Lord, we really, really do ask that we would be good soil. That we might receive the word and hold on to the word and produce fruit that brings glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.